Good morning. Good morning, all my Dharma sisters. I'd like to start by thanking everybody for coming and helping us create this opportunity to commune with each other when you could be out in the sun and communing with flowers and sunshine and so many other things. So thank you so much. I have to tell you that I had a whole talk prepared, and then yesterday we had the Buddha's birthday ceremony and a little talk, and you know, as it started, I thought, oh, that's, I started out thinking, oh, that's too bad that I didn't remember what, you know, that I could have done, I could have prepared a talk that was somehow vaguely even related to Buddha's birthday. And then by the end of Alan's talk, I was really regretting that I hadn't, and almost feeling like I should change my talk, but I felt that it was too late. And but I kept having that feeling. And yesterday, I guess, I went to the place that, I don't know how, I think that a lot of you were probably there. I went to the same place Katie Guimon did with her question, which was hearing the story of the Buddha's birth, thinking, wow, this is a really sad story. Between, you know, kind of, you, maybe between the lines or not even between the lines. So I was just pretty torn inside, kind of like that feeling like when you have your foot on one boat and another foot on another boat, and the boats are like moving away from each other. And yet at some point, and even as early as this morning, I was like, no, I'm going back to my prepared talk. And then I couldn't, I just couldn't settle there. So I'm thinking of this as kind of like Buddha's life, the sad parts, or coloring in the sad parts or something. And I hope that this is going to work for people here, and even people who weren't on the call. I mean, at the event yesterday. So anyway, here we go. And just to start, I'd like us to just remember that we really don't know for sure very much at all about what actually happened back then, 2,500 years ago, and you know, there's some historical record and some theories and things, but so I just think that that's an important thing to keep in mind. Like, whatever story we tell, we're making it up, and I've been trying to feel my way into the story from different people's perspectives, from the different players' perspectives. So I think that it was, I understand, and again, people can correct me later if I'm wrong, but that it was kind of traditional for a woman to go to her own clan or family when she was going to have a baby. And it seems clearly she miscalculated the timing on that, and or the birth started early, the labor started earlier than they expected, because she was en route. And you know, they fill in all this stuff about the beautiful trees and stuff, but basically she's en route to her own family's clan and perhaps her mother, you know, to help her through this, the birth, and then she goes into labor. And I think it seems like it must have been a very difficult labor. Again, I don't know where you go when you hear he was born from her side and she died 8 days later, but what makes sense to me is that it was some kind of, you know, cesarean birth of some kind. And so I think it's a very sad story of his birth. And I think that, of course, he was mothered. I'm sure he had close mothering from his mother's sister, his aunt, Mahaprajapati or Prajapati at that time. And I can imagine he was well mothered and 8 days old, I'm sure he could imprint on her and have secure attachment and everything. But also the other factor is that his mother was the wife of his father and the sister of his aunt. So it's a sad, there is a sad grieving thing going on to me in this beginning days of his life. And I just feel like maybe it, just spending some time honoring these other aspects, and I'm not trying to in any way, I'm not trying to detract from what he did for all of us and his gifts and everything, but just, in the interests of feeling our way into the story, So my impression or my the story I go to is that he was a very sensitive boy, and there it was an intense scene with he was gonna be he was a clan his father was a clan leader, his cousin was jealous of him, so there was a, and he I picture him as not being, if there's some kind of gender spectrum, I picture him as not being far out there on the masculinity scale, like a sensitive boy and man and young man, and was much more, the story is he saved the swan that his cousin shot, and we have various stories of his tenderheartedness and there was a lot of pressure on him, a lot of pressure on him to toe the line in this clan, to become, marry and have a child that a son that would also become, like to pass this thing on. And I my feeling is, just in the last couple of days, like he never wanted any of it. That's where I'm going right now, is he never wanted any of that. It didn't resonate for him. It was full of probably little, palace intrigue and jealousy and status, people with status, people without status, and all of that stuff. And I just think that he was never really into it. He tried to, and he did everything to fulfill what they were asking him to do. And he did get married. And when I think of his wife's name is Yasodhara. And again, I meant to mention that yesterday was my daughter's last day of her visit, and I decided not to spend a bunch of time doing research that I might have done to flesh out some of these stories, and so others of you may know more and may be able to share. But when I think of Yasodhara, where I go is I'm related to and married to people who have struggled with depression. So I that's what I my feeling is that he struggled with depression based on not feeling like he was where he was supposed to be and not wanting to do what he was supposed to do. And I could imagine what that would feel like for him. I can imagine what that would feel like for him. I can really imagine what that would could have been like for her. I know what it's like not to be able to feel like, you can help somebody or your love can make a difference or things along those lines. And probably his father was just hoping he would keep, and we've seen parents do this. I hope he eventually gets on board with this. I just hope he does, So I'm not going to retell the story of the four visions because I'm telling the story from another angle. We all know that, but I think that he, my feeling is that he was never totally bought into it, and it was harder, it got harder and harder to do it. And finally, when he had accomplished this thing where he'd had a kid, a child to pass on the family name and genes or whatever, that was like where he drew the line and said, I really can't do this now. I've done everything you wanted me to do, and now I'm doing what I've always wanted to do, which was leave this situation, this scene, this family scene, this scene of power struggles and, competitive cousins who want to kill me and all this kind of stuff. And, you could see he turned to spiritual practices, and you could sort of see he tried everything is where I go with it. He tried everything to feel better, to feel better. And eventually he did find a way to feel better, a way to understand reality that was healing for him. And that's the whole other story of that we know. So then, and so I just, there's a lot of family energy in his story that usually doesn't come out. So his one of his most loyal disciples was his cousin Ananda, and I think of them as probably kind of halfway, maybe between a brother and a cousin, very close cousins. And I kind of think of this is a little different from how I talked about his childhood, but I kind of think of the Buddha as the thinking type to Ananda's feeling type in a way. Ananda's very loyal, very devoted, and in a few different sutras, you get the feeling of him just sort of adding the feeling level in at different times. When the Buddha is sort of a little bit pedantic and laying out these lists and things, so eventually, and then the other factor that's playing in here is that his clan was wiped out in a war, or I don't know if it wasn't that everybody was wiped out, but they lost the war. They and whatever happens with that, I don't know all the details, but there's a lot of stories in even in the sutras that show that the time was rife with struggle struggle within clans and struggle between clans. There's a set of stories about a king and a queen, and then the son kills the father, and they're all in this. They all come to the Buddha as a teacher. The son is he can't get over his guilt for killing his father, and he comes to the Buddha. So there's a sense of strife and struggle and the difficulties of the social keeping the social status, keeping the clan together, having the clan survive and gain territory from another clan. And so there was a lot of it was kind of Shakespearean is the way I think about it, and the the eventually, one of the things that happens is that there's a lot of widows left based on this war that happened. And not only, and so there's some Shakyan widows, and also people who were married to people who became monks and are left in that way, left alone in that way. And then I'm sure there were also many women who also didn't really buy into, I mean, in every culture, I think there's always some women who don't want to do that thing. They don't want to get married and have kids for whatever reason, And so, or they have tragedies, as Karen, as we talked about with in Karen's talk, they had terrible tragedies where all their children were killed or, family members killed. So a collection of women formed around Mahapajapati, the Buddha's, I mean, I think of her as his mother, honestly, mother slash aunt, because from 8 days old, you know, you raise someone from 8 days old. I don't think you call that person an aunt, but you know, maybe you do. Mother slash aunt. Around her formed a group of these women somehow. And you know, they say 500, but I think 500 is a word for a whole bunch of people in that system. So they formed around her and studied his teachings and wanted to experience this relief and this transcendence and this understanding and enlightenment and follow his teaching in the way that the monks were. They wanted to be nuns or monks themselves. They wanted to, and there, and at this point, at the, and again, we don't really know what actually happened. Maybe none of this happened, and maybe he let women in from the beginning, but later generations, as we know, women get written out of things. So let's just go along with the story that, and which is, you know, the third sad story to me, or something, third or fourth sad story. She is leading this group of women who want to practice for whatever reason, are left high and dry or left their situations and want to take up the holy life. And she goes to the Buddha who says no. And when I try to feel my way into the Buddha, I think, oh God, that's just going to complicate things no end. You know, like I feel like he just couldn't deal with the complications that were going to ensue if women joined his order, because he has all these young men and they're trying to be celibate and just in a million different ways. So I know, and we know that he threw off caste and he threw off social status. So we know he was capable of throwing off things, but this seems to have been a bridge too far for him. He just could not, he could not go along with that idea. And she goes away and comes back and asks him again, if I'm remembering the story right, and you can later on, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And then I think she goes to Ananda before the third time. So she asks him twice, he says no. And then the third time she goes to Ananda, who is a close relative again, right? We're talking about family. We're talking about his mother coming to him and him saying no to her. And then she goes and asks the nephew or some close relative of hers to intercede because he's close to the Buddha and he is a feeling type and feels and can feel the deeper situation here rather than thinking, oh, that is just going to make things so complicated. You know, that's my image is like, oh God, that's just going to make things so complicated. So he comes and he there's and I think there's a couple things he says, but the one that has stuck with everybody down through history is that he says, isn't it true that women are just as equally capable of attaining enlightenment as men? And the Buddha says, yes, it is. And then he says, well, how can you justify, how can you do this? How can you not let these women do it and do this, join this order or create an order of nuns or whatever it is, you know? And, you know, again, he grudgingly agrees to do it, to go to support them. And the way, then the grudging part of it was that they made a bunch of special rules, or this never happened and this was made up later. So to justify the special rules, right? I mean, let's just remember before we take it all too seriously that we don't really know what actually happened and what the dynamic with him and his mother really was. So I'm telling it one way, you could tell it another way. We don't know, we will never know. So I think we can feel feelings. Obviously, some parts of this happened, and obviously everyone's life has a lot of sadness in it. So there was a lot of sadness that we don't often hear about in the stories of the Buddha. But eventually he did allow this to happen, allowed the nuns to and even before, but I meant to say, before this thing with the nuns, he had women lay students. He had in the sutras, there are stories of women coming and getting teachings from him, queens and various people. He did relate to women and he did teach women. But he didn't have this full ordination project with the many, many rules that they were, their practices, many, 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 many lifestyle requirements and changes that they made. And we do have a book, The First Buddhist Women. There's a couple translations, and I'm not going to get into the complications of that, but there are some poems from many, many, many of these women about their own enlightenment in studying with Mahapajapati and becoming teachers themselves, and other people studying with them. And so there was a very thriving, living practice among these women, which, was the outcome of that sort of tense and painful story, so those are my thoughts about coloring in the sadness a little bit, so coloring in the sad parts.